comes. Chaudhry has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Chaudhry flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chaudhry goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Hello? Hello, hello. And we are live. Welcome in on a special edition. The Rye Show is on a Friday. We're usually on Thursday, but today on Friday, it's this great Friday show. The Pack Meter, Matty J right here at Fashion Furniture. Matty, how are you?
We are live.
Hey, it's on 104.
I'm doing
beautiful
well.
Today.
It's unbelievable. I got up at 4:30 this morning and I went out. Taking care of my dog, and it was absolutely, I had to put on a jacket. You don't feel that very often in this point of June. Unfortunately, tomorrow will be 106, but it was good this morning.
It's supposed to be hot again tomorrow?
No, tomorrow it's going to rise up, and then by, I believe, Saturday, Sunday, then Monday, of course, you're looking at a major heat wave.
Just, we don't know. Well, it is summer.
I'll take what I can get. I don't know why you're complaining right now. This is really nice.
Yeah, no question about it. We are here at Fashion Furniture El Paso Blackstone, Friday edition. And I like the Fridays. We used to do Fridays back in the day.
We did back
in the day. Get you ready for the weekend.
Get you ready for the weekend. There's a full slate of things you can always talk about at the end of the week as opposed to our normal Thursday where we might be preparing ourselves for a big ball game or some big contest in the world of high school athletics.
Yeah, no question. Let's. I do want to thank Fashion Furniture. Father's Day is coming up. Now, Alexa comes over today. Hey, my daughter. Hey, what are we doing Sunday for Father's Day? And I started thinking, I thought Father's Day was a following Sunday. That's how much people don't even care about Father's Day. But Fashion Furniture does. This is your headquarters.
Yes, it is. And I just got out of, and I probably talk about it every week, but the Cozio Massage Therapy Chair. Unbelievable. And if you look at the total value for the package, when you think about how many times you hire a private massage therapist or whatever you do to try to work out the kinks, to have that, after about a month, I think the chair is completely paid for itself if you're on a regular regimen of seeing your masseuse. And I got the joint therapy. Thank you to the sales team here for introducing me to that part of this chair. And I feel unbelievable. I mean, this is unsolicited. We are here at Fashion Furniture. We love Fashion Furniture. We love what they stand for as far as local athletics and their contribution to our community. But more importantly, I am not kidding about this chair. I literally came in on another one of those days. I played basketball with my students yesterday. I went into the wrestling room and played a little bit of knee football with the guys, and they roughed me up pretty good. I couldn't walk coming into this studio today. I went right to the chair. And it absolutely readjusted me. It's unbelievable.
I'm afraid if you had that in your house, you'd never leave the house.
Oh.
Right? Has anyone seen Matt in a month? No, he doesn't. He's got the Cozio.
Quite possibly. It'll heat your body up. It'll get to your calf muscles, the bottom of your feet, the tops of your shoulders. It does the whole workup.
Yeah. Hey, our number, if you want to get a hold of us, call Russ in the studio, 844-940-ESPN, because you never know. We're at any moment's a moment with Nick and Matt, right? It could happen, and you want to call in. So make sure you always write this number down, 844-940-ESPN. That's the number. So much to
but
talk
who has
about.
The time to look and stare at their phone? Could you just give the numbers? Do you know? Can you give me just the numbers one of these times?
I think it's 844-940-3776, if I'm correct.
Okay.
Russ will give you the ding. I think it's 3776. So he hasn't said anything, so I think we're golden. A lot to talk about. This is the it's officially football season.
Yes.
And I want to talk to Matt Johnson. You're the coach. you're a football coach, but it's football season now. Baseball ended spring. Oh, the, you know, everyone's graduating. Congratulations to all the seniors. Best of luck in the next future and keep it going. We love you guys. But it's football season.
Football and cross country.
Cross country, fall sports are coming.
Fall sports
are coming.
Believe
it or not, it's fall. But that's the next part. So how, I want to ask the parents and the players out there, because I get this all the time. Pag meter, it's football season, but my son also plays baseball and basketball. Great. I love all that football, baseball, basketball, whatever players, even on the girls' side. Love them that play the majority of sports. But how to handle football, and then maybe you're playing basketball at the same time. If you're a football player, to me, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong, you better make sure you got that game plan or the playbook down. Because I get so many dads text emailing me in the fall, hey, it's not starting because, well, he wasn't there a lot and they're penalizing. Well, does he know the playbook?
Yeah.
See, a lot of guys don't want to go to football practice because it's not fun, but they want to go play basketball because it's easy. You go play in the gym. It's not. How do you handle the situation of the time? Of how do you do that to make everyone happy? Do you talk to the coaches?
Well, first you've got to have a great working relationship with coaches. And that goes all the way down to the cottage industry that's formed in our country, which is club sports, 7-on-7 football. Of course, the AAU basketball element's always been going on since I was a little guy. But all the sports have their version, from soccer to volleyball, you name it. So you do have to have a real good open line of communications with the coaches or the administrators of those other summer sports activities. But before I even delve into that for this show, talking about football season's coming up, the fall sports season is on us, and what are these kids are doing this summer? What happened to this concept? Whatever happened to the old idea that you go through your high school graduation, you shake your hands of that year, and you prepare yourself to have a great, fun summertime? When did it come to this, that the second you leave and graduate, the following week, you're involved in working out and preparing for the next season? How about having the summer? How about going off and doing your summer activities? I don't know what it was like for you, but we had a coach, and I was talking to another one of my coaches earlier this morning, and it was pretty much, okay, here's the schedule. I'm going to open the weight room at 8 a.m. It'll be open till 10. You guys come in for your free workout. It will open again at, let's say, 3 o'clock. You can come in for your workout. Camp starts on July 28th or the July 29th. You guys know what we're up against this year, so don't miss camp. Have a good summer, guys. Enjoy your time. What happened to just shutting everything off in the world of athletics and going out and being a kid anymore? No one does that anymore.
It's because the Joneses down the street don't.
Thank you. If everyone, God, you nailed it. I didn't even set this up for you. If everyone would agree, could we please let the young student athletes enjoy a little time off? But everyone is caught up with, well, if I do that, then I'll be 3 weeks behind the other school. And the other school started, you know, last year they already started. I can't let myself slip behind. There's this sense in the coaching community that everyone, as you said, has to keep up with the Joneses because everyone else is doing it. So we have to start conducting ourselves with morning workout, afternoon workouts, keep them going. Everyone seems to be on that push. And at some point, I think we lost that sensation that school is out. Let the summertime festivities begin for the kids, and we'll catch up to them sometime in July and get ready for the football year. No one's doing that anymore.
We did it back in the day, but when is the dark period time for football? Isn't there a dark period where, because you and I had our first annual bowling tournament last year.
It's always a week to 10 days, let's call it, before the official, for us, the official moment to get back. Begin your period of getting ready for your helmets and full gears July 29th. That's on the CIF bulletin. That's when we start. There's a period of what you would call, as you say, the dead period is typically moments before, week before that period.
I think we need to go even further, maybe a two-week day. I'm sorry, coaches, if you're listening, you're going to go, Pag meter, stop it. We need as much time as we can. I'd say this would be my dream plan.
Right.
Do whatever you want in June. You want to have camps and go for it. You want to go out to Shaver Lake and bring the team. July 1st until July 22nd or whatever the first day is. It's dead, and if you would have an open weight room, let the kids come in, great. If you don't, I don't know, something like that where let the kids have July off because we do know it's on. once football starts.
Yeah, and I think, once again, I think that is the plan. I think that is what the idea between the CIF has. Is always obviously looking out for number one interest is the student, the student athlete. But no one's doing that. So there really is this sense that I would be all for that. If we could get everyone in the collective body to agree that that is, as you say, that's like an NC2A dead recruiting period. No one can even talk to the kids. Let them have the summer.
But you know, do know coaches will not agree to that, and they're still going to practice.
I think all coaches would agree to that if they knew that everyone else was in total agreement with that. I really do.
I'd like to know what coaches say.
Hey, we're coaches. Yeah. We keep jobs in the summer, most of us do. If not, they're true. But I'm still working in the summer. We'd like a little time off, too, before that onslaught of the end of July hits, and you go from, like I said, end of July to however long it takes. But the amount of weather and what you're involved in that time of year is very taxing on the body.
No question, because it's going to be hotter. Then, well, you know.
The hinges of Hades.
Yes, it's going to be hot, but I like it. 844-940 ESPN is our phone number. I'd love to know what coaches out there. But I don't know if everyone would jump on the same page because you know coaches won't. We're going to get ahead.
Yeah, well, let me give you an example. It wasn't too long ago that Clovis Unified had what was called their summertime camp. That camp was set up full gear. You know, in Texas, state of Texas, they have spring ball. They wear their full uniform like they're in a college getting ready for spring. But in Clovis Unified School District, I'll never forget this, the word gets out, social media and all that, hey, there's a scrimmage tonight at Buchanan Stadium. It's Clovis West is playing Clovis High. What? Yeah, it's that summertime camp that they have. They're in full gear, and they're out there, and we were in full gear. You got to get insurance. You got to get all that. You got kids got to sign up like they're going to some kind of a camp. They had it all legally set up. So I'll never forget this. So Tim McDonald, at Edison head coach at the time, was looking around, well, why aren't we doing that? Sold it to Fresno Unified. Now we had our Fresno Unified full summertime football. And that was full gear. They now no longer do that. But that was another one of those elements. Why did the school district I was with decide to do it? Because the other guys were doing it. No one wants to feel like they're getting behind because the other school is doing all this extra stuff. And that's how this all got to be the point it's at today.
And then, of course, Fresno State had their camp. Pat Hill had it going on.
Yeah.
And they would have a full-on camp for 2 weeks, 1 week for each school. And then you go out at night, it'd be like, hey, who's playing? Well, St. John Bosco's playing Clovis North. Bullard's taking on Modern Day over there. It's like four games going at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And
I never forget
that was fun.
It was a lot of fun. Bishop Gorman came every year. They still do a version of that, though.
Do they really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that legal?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's called a camp.
Yeah, kids are allowed to pay the money. When I was young, and you were probably in the same boat, we had the offense-defensive camp that was either at Stanford, it was at Oregon, it was at L.A. Coliseum, and that was where you just go to your equipment manager, coach, I need all my gear, and then you pay your $300, and you're in a full week of full contact against some guy from San Diego, and you're from Fresno. That kind of thing was going on.
Let's go. Patrick, you were on the Rice Show. How you doing today?
I'm good, Pagmeter. How you doing, brother?
Great. What do you got for us?
Hey, man, it's Patrick Elliott, played ball at Clovis West. You know, Fresno State camp started the last day of school every year. It was 105 degrees every year with full pads, contact, 8 to 10 out. Toughen us up as men, you know that?
Oh, I remember. It was fun to watch.
And I think that taking July off, it's not a great idea. It's not a kids get used to having time off, and they're really not used to the pads at that point, used to the heat. I know they're pushing back start times at Clover. They're basically making it easier for kids in and out of the classroom, so not a fan of it. I'm only 8 or 9 years removed from high school.
Yeah, Patrick, I think, you know, there's a part of what you're saying as a player, absolutely, you know, acclimated to your gear and doing all that stuff in the summertime is sometimes obviously very beneficial. It's just my simple question was, when did it all start? When did it turn into summer has to be? In the world of basketball, I get that. You play in your BCI or your club team or you go with your school and it goes to all these different events that are going on through the month of June and July. And then in August, obviously, they shut her down. But for football, I almost want to believe that it might be a better way of doing business if we really let the kids. You have a spring football period. Get yourself used to the playbook. Get yourself used to a little bit of heat. But let the kids have. I kind of like the pag meter deal. You can do everything, passing tournaments and all that, through the month of June. But when you hit July, there should probably be a 3 weeks of nothingness. But no one's doing that. But just a 3 weeks of nothing, and then you come back on that last weekend or that last moment of July, and you get ready for the school year and you get after it.
And when I say nothing, that doesn't mean you're stop lifting weights. You want to go do your thing individually, well, go it. But team-wise, it should be dead.
Well, that's the other thing. Is that, well, we have a dead period where you're not allowed to do that.
For a week.
But let's – no, I'm here to be the total voice of total honesty. That's in the rule book. You can't. But I will guarantee you, as sure as I'm sitting here, no one really follows that. You're not supposed to coach them up. Well, you're just supposed to let them have their own way, and you can open the weight room. Or if they want to go condition, they're allowed to go condition. But you can't introduce footballs. You can't introduce anything.
But they still do.
They still do it.
Yeah, and I like the idea. But if, you know, I'm sure Jim Critchlow, they're listening. If they want to drive around and catch Matt Johnson's out in the field, well, it's supposed to be dead period. I don't know what you fine them for. Take away a home game or something. I don't know, but I think it would be a great way to do it. That way kids would be, they'll have their legs at the end of the year.
The only way to do it is the way we, as we go to break, our own conference, the CMAC, I don't know how other conferences are, but we all go on rules every year at our big conference meeting before the season gets ready to go. And we just had our meeting, and we have a policy where we can't trade film with our opponent, only within our CMAC conference. Every game tape. Whether it's a non-conference game or conference, we're exchanging tape. But if somebody calls to me and says, let's just use an example, if someone from Clovis Unified, if Clovis High School calls me because they're getting ready to play Bullard, I can't give Clovis High School my tape or it's a violation. There are ways, if you just get all the coaches together, if we all agree in a room, we're all stand-up men and women, we can agree to call it a dead period or whatever we want to call it during a certain time. It's just something we all have to get a part of.
I totally agree. Let's take a break. I want to come back and talk to do our little Warriors-Raptors talk, and then we're going to get a lot to talk about today. Don't go anywhere. It's a live special edition of the Rise Show live at Fashion Furniture. We'll be right back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Thank you to Bowman & Associates. We are live, a special edition of the Rise Show. Right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone, it's the Pag Meter. Maddie J, Russ behind the desk, Tony D coming up at 2. And then at 4 o'clock, Matt, you and I, we're going to take the 940 ESPN's limo over to Team Tavern, 10 Tavern, and Nick Anderson will be there, and we're going to be talking more sports as well. So this is a fun local day of sports with the Pag Meter, Maddie J.
It could be.
I don't know what that means.
Well, it could turn ugly in a hurry.
That's why any moment's a moment.
Any moment could be a flash-bang attack because you've been pretty much on your factual game. But the moment you slip off that track, I'm here to call you into check.
Well, let's talk a little Warriors. They're down
Warriors
two games to one. Well, the Warriors are banged up.
Let me state the obvious, okay, how bad you and I missed the boat. Because the night before the third game, which they lost horribly, I'm looking and just surfing the internet, getting ready the night before, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, we know Kevin Durant's not going to play. We now know that Klay Thompson is out. We don't know Boogie Cousins, what his status really is, because he's not ready to play yet, really. We also know that Iguodala is coming off an injury. And we know that Looney has a shoulder that might have got ripped completely out of socket, or it could be just a slight little fracture in there. But either way, he's not going to play. And the Warriors were favored by 6.5. And you and I had the conversation if there was ever the complete rubber band bet, take it all out of your pocket, go to the bank, take whatever disposable income you have to take the Raptors.
Bet the kids, bet everything.
And what happened? I thought it was legalized in the state of California. Haven't they opened that part of the sports book up yet, or it hasn't hit our state yet?
You would know more than
it has,
no idea.
Apparently. But sure enough, the Raptors went out and exercised their dominance over the Warriors. But where in the history of the NBA, we're talking the history, and I pose that question to you. You happen to use the The Lakers. You use the Lakers. I said pick between, you know, that 70, late 70, 80 run with Sixers, Lakers, Celtics. You pick the Lakers. I said, okay. When in the history of a NBA final, the Lakers are playing the Celtics, let's just say. The Lakers do not have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is out, James Worthy's out, Byron Scott or Norm Nixon, take your pick, is out. And it's marginal at best if Jamal Wilkes is going to play in the game. And the Lakers are favored. That has never, ever happened. How in the world could the Warriors, even though it's a home game, be favored over the Raptors in an NBA championship and four of their dudes are out of the game?
It's unheard of.
That's how bad the NBA is.
Oh, no question. It's so watered down, no question about it. Warriors are still favored. This game, and we don't know if they're all coming back, they're still a five-point favorite. But this is it's too good to be true. Because you know some guys might be coming back. But
well, I know. I know you wanted to mortgage your house and get ready for this one. And I told you, no, we missed the boat.
Yeah.
We missed that window.
Yeah.
That window was immediately right after Klay Thompson did the hamstring. You knew without KD, without Klay. How in the world could you effectively put in a lineup that's going to match another team from the Eastern Conference that's the best they have to offer?
Is Kevin Durant hurt that bad he can't come back?
Clearly.
Apparently.
Clearly.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've ever played basketball or not, but I have. But if your calf muscle or any part of your calf to your Achilles tendon area is hurt, you can't do anything. Everything you do in basketball is required about getting off the ground. If I played offensive lineman, it would be tough enough just to try to set up for pass protection. But the ability to run on the hardwood, to jump, rebound, and obviously elevate.
Well, he's not jumping or rebounding. He's going to shoot threes from the three-point line and go back to the other one. That's all he would have to do. It's a three-point shooting contest anymore. You ever noticed?
Well, have I ever noticed?
There's no inside game. I don't see anybody posting up anymore. It's a three-point shooting contest. Steph Curry's the greatest shooter ever, but he's also the worst defensive player ever. So that's what you get from Steph Curry.
Not so fast. Unbelievable. Here you go again.
Okay.
Are you kidding me right now?
He's horrible on defense.
Dude, that guy is.
He's so soft, Matt.
He had 47 points. How many assists? He had 7 or 8 rebounds.
Offensively, he's not fantastic.
No, he plays plenty of good defense. He's not Klay Thompson defensively.
Just watch him on defense, how he gets pushed around. He's so soft. He's like a little marshmallow out there. Pick on his play. Whoever's guarding him should have 50 points. Let screen him out because he can't go through a screen. How about this idea, Steph? Bench press. Let's work on the upper body. One time and get a little strong.
Yeah,
work on the legs and play a little defense.
We're not talking about Leonard Trunk Robinson here. We're talking about a guard, a point guard at that.
He's not there
How many
to play
of those
defense.
Come on? Well, he's a guard. He does what he has to do. He does business.
Right.
Without question, there was a point of me that used to give me this line all the time about Steph Curry, and I kind of, I see a little softness. And then I watch, and it's like he gets 8 or 9 rebounds. He's doing everything he can. So he's a little bit different on defense. He's got to take some breaks at some point. The guy played almost every minute of the game. But every time he gets challenged by guys like you, he goes out and proves that he's arguably the best basketball player in the history of the game.
Can he do something with the mouthpiece? You know how many germs are bouncing out and around? He makes a free throw, and everyone gives him a high five. Yeah. Makes another free throw. Yeah. And then he's bouncing that mouthpiece. Germs going everywhere.
You've got good call by you, but he never touches it.
Oh, really?
He does. It's not like a boxer has to get his glove and try to push his mouthpiece in. That mouthpiece comes in and out of his mouth without him ever touching it.
But he's touching everyone else, but he's never touching his mouth. How does that mouthpiece get in there?
That's like, look. Olympic wrestlers wrestling the guy from Bulgaria or for Turkey, sweaty, hairy, greasy monster. You know, he's getting stuff put all over him. I'm not worried about the germ effect. Hello? I can't believe he even went there with that. That's what you're thinking about. Like, I can't believe he's spreading diseases from the high five into his mouth.
My wife's a dental hygienist. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
That's what I get.
Now we get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, that's what I get. So.
The end game is this. The NBA is so poor, so piss poor, that a team could lose four All-Stars and still be favored in a game. Now, we're not talking about a regular season game now. We're talking about the pinnacle of the sport, and the team that's representing the East is still an underdog to a team that has one man left on their squad. That's amazing to me.
This is the reason why I bring up the regular season in the NBA is horrible to watch because the best teams are already going to the playoffs. They don't have to try for 82 games. I'm an 8 seed. I don't really care. I'm going to still beat the first number one seed if I have to. Come on. But if the Warriors lose and go down 3-1, they're not going to the White House. Okay? They're done. And they're not going to the White House anyway.
They're not on the White House schedule.
And they're not invited, so I wouldn't worry about the Warriors going to the White House. Okay? So,
yeah.
An out-of-country team winning the NBA?
Well, whoa. Yeah, and then we're moving the three-point line back a little further for the college game. Okay, makes sense. How about this idea? And apparently they did all this three-point line and all that because the game was decidedly getting away from a certain element of play. So they wanted to extend the game and let the outside guy get an effect and give him 3 points for his great shooting ability, which did bring the ability to shoot a bona fide jump shot or set shot, is fully back. That's all they do now. Okay? How about this idea? But now they want to move it even further back to where, you know, we got to recapture the inside game because that 3-point line's too close. How about this idea? How about you give the slam dunk 3 points?
I was just going to say that.
A layup's worth 4 points. How about that idea? You want to get the game back to the pure essence of how the game started? Inside play is effective. Give the inside slam dunk or the inside skyhook get 3 points.
You know, it's amazing. Before Steph Curry showed up, nobody could shoot. From high school, college, to the NBA, all ESPN top tens were slam dunks. There was no outside shooting whatsoever. Now,
there was a few, but...
Okay, but now you watch the next game. The over and under for slam dunks is like 2.
Yeah.
You won't see more than 2 slam dunks in a game. Very rarely.
Well,
because it's all...
Somebody, and I'm going to go with this one because it's all I can tell, Steve Kerr or someone in the organization of the Warriors, they are the ones who did the, what do you call it, sabermetrics, or they did the baseball version of, let's just talk pure numbers. Let's get mathematical with the game of basketball. If there's a shot in basketball that gives you 3 points as opposed to 2, what are the chances and what are the odds that if we shoot 5, let's say we only make 2, as opposed to shooting 5 that only count for 2, but we make 3, isn't the 3-pointer worth that extra point? And they went with it. They drafted for it. They built a program based around the ability to shoot the basketball. Now everyone's on that game plan. Right?
That's a lot of math right there.
But everyone's on that game plan. So my point is this. If that's what now works, which it clearly does, because it certainly works in college basketball too, now they want to incorporate the game that we always thought left that we never figured out. How come no one knows how to rebound and play inside anymore? It's crazy. Why is there no more aircraft carriers playing in the game of basketball? By them doing this, which moving that arc, and I think Tony D, God bless Tony Diodato, he said, why don't you just move the line back to 25, to 28 feet? Why not? Why not make it to where there's only a select few? Steph Curry will still take that shot. Lillard at Portland, he has an unbelievable range for the outside shot. But they will, by that move alone, will bring back the pure essence of the inside game of basketball where it used to be a higher percentage underneath the basket. But the shooting today is phenomenal. And hallelujah, because I used to brag, I used to laugh and make jokes all the time about no one's teaching these kids how to shoot. It was all slam dunk. Now the kids are back to shooting the basketball.
They all want to be Steph Curry. Everybody wants to practice and be like Steph Curry, and he's changed the game of basketball. So what do you think the fans would like? Do the fans like the 3, or the fans want to go back to the post-up? Because you and I watch a lot of high school, and, for example, you and I remember we were sitting in the stands on the Clovis West tournament when Bakersfield, they're all 6 feet tall, beat Bullard, and they shot lights out.
Yes, right.
And they beat Bullard. Now, we watched Coach Terry just a few years ago, and his teams, all they did was shoot 3s, and he was the greatest coach ever when they made him. And then they live and die on the 3 in college and the NBA.
Right.
The Warriors win if the 3's going down. It's simple.
It really, truly matters. It depends completely on what brand of basketball maybe you were brought up in or what you felt was the culture of the NBA and college basketball. Was it a true work the low post game, get the guy on your hip, you know, present yourself as a big target to the person throwing you the ball down into the paint, and then do your stuff downstairs? Or did you grow up in a game of basketball from this generation, this new era, where everything's about spacing, spread the floor, skip passes, and get a man open for that three-point shot? And that's really what we kind of basketball they play today. I'm more of the old school. I'd like to reinvigorate the inside presence of basketball, because I grew up in an era, literally, where the only chance you had of winning a national championship was, oh, you have Hakeem Olajuwon? Oh, you have Patrick
Ewing? Who's going to stop him?
You got Shaquille O'Neal's your guy? You got this? You got Bill Walton in the middle? You've got... Everything was geared around the cog of the wheel, the spoke. The centerpiece of the hub of the wheel was the man in the middle. There's no longer man in the middle. When Mark Gasol or one of the Gasol brothers is the preeminent elite center in the entire NBA, the NBA is watered down crap.
No question
about
it.
You need to bring the big man presence back.
Yeah. I just wonder what the fans think. Do they like the long three?
Well, the fans love it if they're the Warrior fans.
Yeah.
If there's some team they're trying to think they're Warriors, but they're shooting 18% from the three-point line, they probably hate that version of basketball. We didn't like Fresno State's version of basketball a few years ago when we'd go to games and they had a legitimate chance, but they were jacking up threes all over with low percentage. Yeah. We didn't like the game.
Yeah.
And on that point, on Fresno State Athletics, I don't know why I was just thinking this as you started the show today, but can we at least – I'd like to give a little big-time credit to a young man by the name of Paul Loeffler. And Paul Loeffler, when you listen to the baseball run that our Bulldogs just went on, you obviously tune in on ESPN Radio to listen to Paul and Coach Q talk basketball, and then, of course, football season rolls around. And then you got to turn on the spelling bee, and there's Paul Loeffler's voice in the background. And then you find out on one of the interviews with Paul Loeffler that he actually was on Jeopardy. He was a contestant on Jeopardy. Paul Loeffler! What? Where's his story? Can we get some more action?
We got a lot of stories in this.
Paul Loeffler, the voice of the Dogs. What a well-rounded, faith-based, religious, gave up his kidney for another man. Hallelujah to Paul Loeffler, by the way.
So you're saying we need a Paul Loeffler holiday day.
We need to talk more. Instead of him always being the interview guys, can we please get ready to interview him, as opposed to ask him questions about Dogs, baseball, football, whatever it might be. We need to have a little moment where he's a guest on our show, and we talk about his life, Syracuse University, broadcast journalism, all that stuff. What a story.
And I'd like to interview Tony D sometime.
That's another one, of course. Probably the longest tenured sports broadcaster in our town would have to be Tony Diodato.
Just getting a text in, 30 for 30 for Paul Loeffler.
30 for 30 on Paul Loeffler.
Good call. That would be something.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Following around all the games.
And I love listening to the baseball game, too, because, you know, our good friend, the Subinator, Brian Marsubi, and him working the game together. But there's only one room for one Paul Loeffler to be the, hello, everybody, and that nice, soft, that calming voice. You can't have two dudes being the calming voice. You need to talk to my man Brian about that. He needs to get in there like, hey, that was hit well.
I tried to liven him up. We got to bring energy, Brian, but you're right. It's tough to jump in there when Paul's doing his thing.
Paul's ultimate sidekick has to be someone that brings the yin and the yang of him. You can't have two guys who are gentle giants like those two together, in my opinion.
Well, that being said, we want to give a little love out to the other part of the he was the 2008 voice of the Bulldogs, Ray Ocanto. Ray is not feeling well right now, and he's going to be going through an illness right now. So our hearts and prayers
Absolutely.
Are thoughtful, thinking about Ray Ocanto. Ray, you're on our team, kid, and you're going to battle, and you're going to beat it.
Absolutely. So, love Ray Ocanto, and I love how he's branched out and to bring his unique style to the television with his food show, and he tours everywhere.
Yeah.
Great job to Ray. Always love him. Yeah, we wish him the best.
Yeah, Ray, we're on your team, and you're going to beat this. So hang in there, and we're going to get Ray on soon. We'll take a break. You're listening to The Rice Show, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. Boy, just news is flying in all over the place, but we're at Fashion Furniture. You know, we lost Dave, who ran Fashion Furniture. It was in Rod's you know, right-hand side for so long. He has passed. I just got an text from my wife, Lori. Her sister just passed literally 30 seconds ago. What's going on? Lori, if you're listening, she's not listening. She's in Los Angeles right now, but her sister just passed away. Your brother just passed away last week, and I'm sorry for that. We got to keep everyone up. That's our show. That's what we do.
Yep. That's obviously thoughts, prayers go out to Lori. Sorry to hear Rayo Canto's not feeling good.
Yeah.
It's just you don't know how to necessarily always get yourself wrapped around these types of events. Of course, you have to, they call it, you know, celebration of life, but at times like this, you literally have to dig back and just continue to relive the memories, as I have for my brother and anyone that I've ever known that's passed. I'm sure it's probably your way too, Nick, is when you and I go, we're not going to want a lot of people to, you know, we want them to do what they do and grieve the way they grieve, but remember us for the laughs and the things that we've done and work through it, because they would want you to work through it.
Well, make no mistake, man. When you go, it's going to be a roast.
It should be.
We're going to just simply roast you at the whole thing.
There's going to
be no crying. It's going to be, remember the story when Matt did this and that? And it's everyone's going to kind of full on laughter. It's going to be a party. So, sorry. Just want to let you know now.
Well, yeah. Hey, that's the way it'll be. Certainly be with you. Thanks for that. I don't even know where to go with this. We are more than just your local high school and college and sports talk guys.
We bring you up and we bring you down.
Yeah, we're just completely sucking the life out of the show right now. The show is now dead.
So with Father's Day coming up, do we call it Father's Day or more of a Father's Hour? In my house, it's about a Father's 30 minutes. They give you a high five, they pat you on the back, and then it's gone.
Yeah.
But Mom, they get the brunch, they get flowers and everything.
And they should. I think truly, every year it's the same deal between you and I. You get the handshake, the apple, the roadmap. They tell you to get on your way and go do what you got to do. But the ladies, the mothers, the women, let's not kid ourselves. They do way more than we do. They are way more instrumental. As a matter of fact, at some point, it has to happen in this country. You have to. A woman's touch to everything is really what it's all about, from your mother to your auntie to your sisters to your daughters, whatever. They truly deserve that. I'm not saying the men don't need their spot, but come on, isn't every day Father's Day for you?
We just want a recliner.
Yeah,
here at Fashion Furniture.
In the big picture, for most men out there, every day's Father's Day.
Oh, no, not for me. It's every day's Mother's Day. Just letting you know.
I'm just talking about Father's Day. What would you want? So you're not getting to do the things you want to do.
It's true.
So you're not getting. I'm going to Fowler today. I've got. Oh, yeah. That's right. We got the All-Star game. We got it.
Yeah.
You're not living your complete life through sports.
Oh no, I own the TV. Well, they know when I come in, I get the Lori's
at
Cardinals.
Home wondering like, where's he at now? You're hardly ever home. Come on.
That's true.
Every day's Father's Day.
Do you get this at home too? We'll go out and we're deciding. Let's say we're at Fashion Furniture. Nick, do you like the red or the blue? And I'm going, I'm going to go red. Well, too bad I already got the blue. So why'd you even ask me? Oh. I don't know. I just want to feel like you're going to be part of it. But I'm really not a part of anything in my house.
Well, not when it comes to those decisions. I mean, you know, I've seen your little shrine to your greatness in athletics. It's a little cubicle, little corner. And then I see the rest of the beautiful decorations. Your house is lovely, but that's not you. And then you come to my place. That's not really me. If it was me, it would be a futon and a big screen TV and Domino pizza boxes everywhere. Or I shouldn't say Domino. I would say
Popolo's
pizza boxes everywhere.
Yeah, no question.
That's what we really are.
So the 1 o'clock hour, Matt, we're going to talk what is going on at Fresno High. Because I'm going to bring that up as soon as we come back in a few 10 minutes. If you want to join us. We're going to tease you because they don't want to take care of their football coach, and we're going to talk
about
that.
Apparently not.
We're going to talk about the beginning. I got the rankings out for football and a lot of changing going on in the South Valley. The Jernigans boys go to play at Bakersfield, are leaving. They're going in the L.A. area. I think it's Santa Margarita. They're leaving. That's going to hurt the Bakersfield Drillers. Michael Stewart comes in. He's expecting to have his two – You know, they're just almost as big as Kendall Milton when it comes to recruiting. USC, a lot of teams want him. They're gone.
Oh,
that's got to hurt your team.
You think? Yeah. they just lost. Yeah, the franchise is lost. There'll be other talented athletes that'll take, you know, take it as far as they can go. But when you lose that level of talent, like, you just nailed it. It's like Kendall Milton, he did. I heard he was going to transfer. Then we knew that that was just fake news. Then there was rumor that he was going to transfer and go to modern day. But, no, he's still at Buchanan. If Kendall Milton did leave Buchanan, that's no different than what's going on at Bakersfield. That's the kind of dent when that kind of situation hits your campus.
Okay, I want you to explain, because I came out last night on Twitter, there's going to have some new football rules. We do know the 25-second clock is now 40-second clock. It's going to be like college. So as soon as you tackle someone, boop, they start the clock.
Yeah.
And then you've got to look at the back judge, and as soon as he starts counting, you got 5 seconds to get the clock, the ball off. Do you like that, or do you like the 25-second?
No, I like the new rule. The only thing I've always been a strong complainer, if you will, about is the fact that you just nailed it. There's no shot clock. So you're relying on that they actually chopped it correctly because some teams will delay game on clock and they never get called. Some teams get a delay of game and you were sitting over thinking, that was not the full. There's nothing to judge it by. Now, that would be a large undertaking probably to get the electronics set up to have a shot clock, if you will, for college, for high school football. But it certainly would make, you know, an undisputable agreement that, yep, that was the clock. I saw it run. But right now you're still going off of the official's time-in, time-out signal, and sometimes you do question that. Other than that, I love that rule.
That's my next question. I think we need a shot clock. I know Radcliffe has it because Fresno City has to have one for college. We only have a few stadiums here in Fresno.
High schools all over the country have a.
We have to have. I don't want to keep it up to the referee. They have enough issues going on. Is there 11 men on? There's 12 men on. How many guys do they have? Are they lined up correctly? You know they're not counting correctly. They do the great job.
I coach track and field, and it's hard enough for me to be working out four of my quarter milers, my 400 meter guys, and they're all coming across the time under a prescribed time for this particular workout, and I've got to keep track of them running. I'm shouting instructions at them. I'm clicking it, done, done, done. How can you, as an official, do all of that, chop the clock, get it started, then you got to keep it, what, on your wristwatch? Or they have a stopwatch they keep? Or are they just internally saying 1,001, 1,002? How can you focus knowing that you also have to be the timekeeper? I think a simple little hand gesture to a scorekeeper, timekeeper in the press box sets the clock, and then we watch that electronic countdown of where the clock is at. Is that too much to ask for?
I think we need a shot clock. Put them in the end zones. That way the quarterback, because he does it in the NFL, they could see, I got 12 seconds to go. Hurry up, get in the huddle. 8, 7, I got to call time. At least we know.
And if you're trying to run time out, you can get a what they do is they chop their hand, the officials, for you, and they do a great job of it, and they let you know you've got 5 seconds, they start waving your hand. What if I wanted to plan my cadence to a 10-second countdown? Yeah. I can't do that. I've got to wait till,
they don't know.
Then they got to go. So it does set a negative rhythm to the offense.
Okay, Jim Critchlow in the office, if you're listening, we want a shot clock and start, I don't know how much can it be. Come on, Amazon, let's go. Pick up a couple, plug it in each end zone, and let's roll. We need a shot clock.
Well, you have to attach it somewhere where it's visual for the fans and, of course, the players on the field. It can't be just an easy fix like that. It's involved. It's heavily involved.
And if Carruthers is playing Fowler something and Fowler has one, hey, can we? Do you guys have one? We'll bring ours if you don't have one. Just talk with the ADs.
Right. And as far as the other rule change that you're going to want to probably bring up, I hope you have it there to read it, but I can't recite exactly the words or the verbiage of how it reads, but essentially coaches need to know.
Well, let's wait on that one. Okay. That's a little more. We don't have that much time until the 1 o'clock break.
Okay.
The one I'm so confused at is tripping is now legal. Tripping, it says tripping the runner is now legal. Beginning this season, it will be, let's see, what do we got?
What?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
I never got that one. No, I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah, do you have your glasses?
Yeah, I do.
Read it out. Here you go.
Well, no, yeah, but you know, can you hold the show while I take a look at it?
No, read it out loud. Just read it out loud. There's the rule book. There it is.
Oh, you did it. Good. Okay. First, tripping the runner is now prohibited. Beginning next season, it will be a foul to intentionally use. Yeah, what are you talking about?
That's right.
Yeah, that, you just said tripping is legal.
I made it, as soon as I gave the phone.
Yeah, okay, big news. Wow, that's big news.
But what I'm trying to say is I don't remember anyone ever tripping anyway.
Oh, all the time.
Really?
Yeah, let's say you're scooping in from your linebacker position. You just got off the guard's block. You're out of balance. The runner's going zone run cutback, and you swing a leg out there to try to trip him as he goes by you. That's always been illegal in my book.
So if you actually tackle someone with your foot, even though you didn't mean to, it's a penalty.
Well, that's
you might not even know.
Well, that's up to interpretation. Let's see. Beginning of the next season, it will be a foul to intentionally use the lower leg or foot to obstruct a runner below the knee.
So how do you tell someone it's intentionally?
That's a judgment call. There's a lot of those in officiating. What is pass interference? I thought I clearly saw pass interference. It's a judgment call.
I think that's going to be.
Which is okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which
I don't
is
like
okay.
That. I just keep it the same.
I've never been involved. I've been in the sport for 40 years. I've never been involved in any football operation where, oh, you didn't call it. It was paramount to the game. You lost me the game because you didn't call a tripping call. It's not that big of a deal.
We come back. We have a new how many players or how many receivers you can have
a line of scrimmage deal.
We'll talk about that when we come back. Also, Fresno High School. Do they not want a football coach? Because we're going to talk about that. That we have every school has a coach now except for Fresno High. Unbelievable.
Bad timing.
We'll talk about it. Also, in the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to talk football. I'm going to throw up the top 30, maybe some coaching changes and some what's going on out there. And we'd love to have your input because it's football season. We'll be right back. This is a special edition of The Rise Show, 940 ESPN.
Don't slide that dial. We'll be right back.
Here comes Chazare, has the ball in at the buzzer. He throws up a shot. It's gone! And we're tied! 76-all, Chazare flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazare goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rise Show. The 940 ESPN Rise Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture. It is the Pag Meter, Matty J. That still gets me fired up. That little opening. Thinking about selling the arena and the basketball is nothing like it.
And that's why we do local sports and local high school sports. The action, the cinema value to all these great matchups is off the charts.
As there's no question, we are a Fresno State town. But for high school sports, just dominates this town. There's no other way to look at it.
Yeah, but time out a minute.
Dominates.
We haven't talked about this yet.
Well, we're going to talk about baseball.
No, but our idea is starting to come to fruition. Someone's been listening. I saw billboards up saluting Fresno State Athletics. It's not exactly what we're talking about with highlighting, you know, the iconic figures of sport from Fresno State. You know, the Cars.
It's a start.
The Cars and Judge and everyone else that's come through there, Lorenzo Neal. But it is a start to beautify the visuals we get as you come down that 99 freeway.
No question about it. We're going to talk more today at 4 o'clock at 10 Tavern. You're going to be on the show. Nick Anderson's going to be on the show. We're going to have Darian Miller, the catcher from the Reggie Miller and Cheryl Miller's brother. No, good try. But Darian Miller, he's the starting catcher for the Clovis Cougars, who just got drafted by the Brewers. Matt Frazier, you've heard of Terrence Frazier. His son got drafted.
Yeah. Record number of guys. This is unbelievable.
This is a record year for over 15 got drafted. And this is why baseball in this town clearly dominates over, especially boys basketball. I love boys basketball to death. But it's not even in the same breath as baseball. Look at it. Just look at several Bulldogs got drafted. Nine track players got drafted in the first 10 rounds, which is unheard of.
Wow.
McCarthy Tatum, 10th round of the Philadelphia Phillies. Zach Ashford, 6th round to the New York Mets. JT Arruda, these are all former track, Clarke Buchanan Bear. JT Arruda, drafted 11th round by the Nationals. Carter Benz went to the Seattle Mariners. And we watched Fresno State, and great job, Bulldogs. You almost pulled it off against Stanford. Would have played Mississippi State this weekend. Great job. Now, my email blew up because Fresno State left a freshman pitcher in a little too long against Stanford in that last game, and they lost 9-5. Listen, Mike Batesel did. If you want to play, if you want to have an opportunity to play at the next level,
yeah,
he's the guy to go to. Fresno State baseball. Is he the most dynamic personality? No. He's not going to talk. He's not a people's guy, but he can coach baseball. He's a Bulldog.
He is in baseball. And there were some Twitter reports afterwards like, yeah, how do you feel now, Stanford? You have all the money, all the facilities, all the advantages, and you're bragging about how you beat our Fresno State Bulldogs. I say hogwash to that. Baseball is the only sport, maybe soccer. I've talked about it before, but baseball is one of the sports. You could be Coastal Carolina, beat every big boy player in the world of college baseball, and win a College World Series. Fresno State had every opportunity, equal or better opportunity, to knock off Stanford. It has nothing to do with the elite status of the university. Baseball is a balanced sport, in my opinion, where if you go out and recruit a certain number of quality players, chemistry and management style and techniques have to play into it. It doesn't matter what university you go to, whether you're going to win baseball games or not. I don't get that.
Well, Tony D brought up last week how, well, USC, you know, back in the 70s, they dominated for how many years? 10 straight years, they were just the best team ever. That is never going to happen again.
Yeah.
Ever USC will be that good. And maybe you're a former Trojan. Why is it in baseball? Because back in the day, USC, there was no,
well, yeah,
you can have any, as many scholarships as you want.
That's almost a parallel to John Wooden and how many basketball championships in the NCAA, which will never happen again like that. In a row, boom, 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 boom. USC was the unquestioned best baseball program in America. Because there was no restrictions. There was no scholarship restrictions, 11.7 scholarships. You want to go to USC, it's going to cost you room and board and tuition over $65,000 a year. Last I checked, it's not easy to be a great baseball prospect and then have to go pay for your education, too, on top of it. That is why state colleges and publicly funded colleges are easier to get, for the most part, a better collection of student-athletes. It costs less. Stanford is able to do what they do for a large part because, one, they are the preeminent private institution which combines the greatest academics with the greatest athletes, and Stanford is the place to be. So if you're intellectually superior on your SAT and other things to everyone else in your class, and you happen to be the best baseball, football, basketball, whatever, girls, volleyball player there is, Stanford is without question the number one university. And I found out, I'd heard about it, but I really did my research. USC doesn't offer this, but at Stanford, if your combined income, mother and father, just your father or your mother, is $125,000 or less, tuition is free for anyone who gets accepted to Stanford.
Free.
Stanford is giving away free education if your income level isn't great enough to pay for the school. And if you make $65,000 or less, you not only get free tuition, but free room and board, extra expenses, checks, everything you need to live a happy existence at Stanford University.
So that means you can play baseball, but you better be a great student.
Yes.
They're not getting in. There's
no Mickey Mouse getting into Stanford.
Yeah.
Although Stanford is also still linked to this little program of paying your way to get into school. But you do have to have a level of academic and other prowess in your social life that allows you to become a Stanford Cardinal. But I must point out, it doesn't really help still the baseball program, because last I checked, most baseball players, in general, after they leave high school, they've got to be some of the most uneducated guys in all of sports. I mean, really. I mean, these guys leave high school and go right off to the minor leagues. How much extra continued education are they acquiring? I think they learn the value of being mature and living on their own, and their young 18-year-old kids out on the bus rides to all these variety of minor league parks. But as far as, and they present themselves for most part well in front of the camera, but baseball is a sport to where it's very similar to a lot of aspects of football. Most of the great baseball players I see in Major League Baseball, if you check their past history, they came from broken homes, not well off. Parents weren't really that rich. Football is probably, other than basketball, are the number one sports where kids come from impoverished, less than financial good situation. But Stanford won because their team at home probably had that much of just of an advantage to get it done. But Fresno State is every bit the baseball program that Stanford is.
I learned this you're talking about, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Max Hsu,
yeah,
former Edison Tiger, went to UCLA, graduated from UCLA after his junior year. So he could have got to play in Fresno State if he wanted, whatever he wanted to do. But he was telling me, of all, from minor league ball all the way to the majors, I don't even know how many players, 3,000, 2,500 players, I don't even know. He said only 15 are graduates of college.
Yeah.
It blew me away, because what happens is kids will sign out of high school or sign after JC or sign after their junior year in the Division 1-2 level.
Yeah.
So they don't finish their senior year. But Fresno State, great job, Bulldogs.
Yeah.
And they almost pulled it off.
Oh, they almost.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly, when you go up and you're undefeated in your region and the team that's going to have to finally get you has got to beat you twice to get through, that probably doesn't happen very often. Although they did show a stat on television that Stanford, USC, and a few others of the big major programs are the ones that get it done more than often over anyone else in America, win after they've lost a game and have to win two to push into a super regional. But I'm very proud of Fresno State, and I'm very proud, quite frankly, of the athletic direction through the athletic director and everything else that they're going through right now.
We're
going to certainly, maybe it was the Tedford hire that got everything ball rolling again to be everyone be competitive. But that entire athletic department should be the most competitive group of people in America. If the volleyball team wins, then the other coach down the aisle says, I can't let them be the only ones equestrian. We need to start winning. And I think that's what's happening. I think Jeff Tedford has sprinkled down to where everyone better up their game, because that football team's turnaround was epic. And now I think everyone else needs to up their game to keep pace.
And keep getting butts in seats would be big, too. And we're going to talk more about it at the 4 o'clock show today, about all the draft choices. Fresno State, all of a sudden there's 1,000 people from Fresno going to Stanford, but we averaged 200 people at Bulldog. Pete Biden Field. We'll talk about that. But go back to the rules for high school football. I wanted to bring up, because Twitter went crazy last night. What does it mean? Do you still have to have 4 in the backfield on football, the new rule? Well, explain it to everybody.
You do. I was like probably most coaches, got the memo that they changed the rules on the line of scrimmage. How many do you have to have on the line of scrimmage? How many players are eligible? La-da-da-da-da, the whole deal. And I read it as, well, what do you mean? I mean, that's kind of a strategic. This could be really interesting, because I can absolutely, all I need to show is center, guard, and tackle, 2 tackles.
After that, five.
Yeah, I can put guys anywhere I want, whether they're on the line of scrimmage or not. And so I started, asking around questions. This can't be right. This is gonna be like Canadian football. We could do all kinds of funky formations. No, for some strange reason, whoever is in the rule committee of who makes these things, nothing has changed. It's just a helpful pointer for the officials of how they want to count who's on the line of scrimmage and who's not. The rule hasn't changed at all.
So it's still the same.
Still exactly the same. They made it sound like there's some new revelation of how many people on the line of scrimmage and all that. No, the rule is exactly the same.
Yeah, okay.
Well, don't take too much into what you're reading, because it does read kind of funny. But that's all.
Okay. Now, we've been teasing everyone about Fresno High.
Yeah.
So Joe Marquez is the head coach of the Fresno High School Warriors football team.
Yes.
Football, to me, when you run a football program in your campus, you're telling yourself, this is the dominant sport of our school, keeping kids eligible, keeping kids away from transferring, building a program. And Fresno High has decided, and it reminds me of Matt Johnson at Edison, that maybe the principal doesn't really focus on football as much. And Joe Marquez was looking for a job on campus, and they gave him one in the middle school. And he's saying, I like to be on campus and with my players. And they didn't want to give it to him. So he's gone.
I understand that he interviewed for a job on campus, and he didn't get it.
He didn't get it.
Yeah.
And now he's going to be the offensive coordinator at Edison. and he left. So what does that tell me about the football team? It's just like you're at Madera South now because of the principal back in when you were at Edison didn't understand football's a big deal.
Well,
and
no,
now
she,
they're learning
no,
the hard
yeah,
way.
Yeah, well, yeah, she understood all that. Please don't bring me up into these things. This is, has nothing to do with me. Now you're bringing
it does
me into
have
the,
something no, to do with you.
Let's stick to the facts. The facts.
But it started with you.
I got the facts are this. Fresno High has the head coach, Joe Marquez, who's no longer the head coach, Joe Marquez. Fresno High had an assistant coach, another assistant coach, another assistant coach. This is usually what happens. When the thing starts going haywire, when the leadership or something has gone south or is no longer in lockstep with everyone else, coaches begin to leave. So this was going on where you heard about a softball coach over there that was also a football coach that was getting horrible information from certain people on campus administration about certain things, and the backing wasn't seemed to be there. So that coach leaves. Then you've got one of the great offensive line coaches in the business. He's thinking, I'm not going to sit around for all this. So he leaves and goes to another power in town to go become that coach. Then another coach leaves and goes over to Edison. And then it all comes all back to the head coach. And it's his turn now to wonder, my program is getting just melted away, and you're not doing anything to help me here. And now I can't get... Then he leaves. Clearly, the leadership on that campus does not value the football program like most other schools do in this valley.
But I'm going back to you for a second. Okay, turn your mic off for a minute. But when you were at Edison, you asked for
my thing was very
wait,
simple.
Wait, you went. Yeah. You asked for things because if you're going to play against the track, the other CMAC schools,
true
and
enough.
They have it,
true
and
enough.
You don't. But the community wants you to win. You're not on a fair
that's
playing
right.
field. Now apparently Edison has it. So sometimes you watch Fresno High. The next coach will get a job on campus. Because
right.
this is what happens.
Isn't that life? There
yeah.
are people that, in unions that strike over things, and then a year later they got what they needed. Now, other people lose money. The NFL's thinking of going on strike. Some people are going to not budget correctly, and they're going to be really hurting financially. But hopefully the thought is someone, that's how it was for me, someone else down the road then will be able to reap, hopefully, the benefits of me stating my case that these are the items you need to win a championship program. But someone has to be sacrificed. In my view of things, Joe Marquez, the head coach of Fresno High, was probably sacrificed along with the rest of his great assistants because someone's making a stand on something. We don't know what, so I don't want to talk about that. But we do know that Joe wanted to be at Fresno High. The other assistant coaches, I'm certain, probably wanted to stay. But somebody was making calls that made it very apparent that football's not a big priority for us, so we're going to go elsewhere.
So what happens when Matt leaves? A lot of kids go to Central. So Central's like, yeah, Matt Johnson left. They all started transfer. Well, let me tell you, Fresno High, you know who's happy? The Hoover Patriots and the Bullard Knights are loving what you're doing because kids are going to leave.
My
word.
And I'm sure Roosevelt Rough Riders
and Roosevelt
are liking the idea that there's instability now at Fresno High. Heck, I've got Fresno High on my schedule. They might hire Bill Belichick. Yeah. I don't know. But as a coach from a pure football sense, this time of the year this happens, I'm kind of thinking, well, that's good for a lot of the opponents of Fresno High.
Right now in the little big game, Roosevelt favored by 21 points. I'm telling you right now, Fresno High is in trouble, but they're going to watch. They're going to regroup and go, maybe we need to take care of this football thing. I had no idea football was a big deal.
And there was a big, long sign by more than just players to keep those coaches around, and the kids did not get their way. So there's got to be a lot of unhappy players, student-athletes, at that school right now.
844-940-ESPN is our number. If you want to call us, we're going to start talking football when we come back. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back, live right here at Fashion Furniture. Get ready for Father's Day here in El Paso, Blackstone. And Pops really want the recliner. Pag Meter, Matty J, and if ladies, if you don't know what to get, your guy, grandpa, whoever in the family, come on over here to Fashion Furniture and check out these recliners because that is what he wants. I'm just letting you know. Or does he want some socks, Matt? What are you thinking?
Let me think. Socks, tie, recliner. I'll go with the recliner, my friend, for 30. Thank you.
There you go.
Hey, you know, by the way, it doesn't have to be a recliner. Right now, I'm looking at, you know, I like, one of my rooms is just furniture, coffee table, family room type setup. The other room has recliners everywhere. This one I'm looking at, Fashion Furniture right now, is a standard sofa love seat combination with two end tables and a great, great coffee table centerpiece that hopefully folds up, which I was just looking at one at the break, that folds up and you can use as your tray as you're eating your food while you're watching the St. Louis Cardinals get beat by the Dodgers on TV.
Well, that hasn't happened yet. It probably will be. Because the Dodgers, I mean, Cardinals are coming to Dodgers Stadium.
Yeah, Cubbies are on them right now, but the Cardinals are trying to make their way back.
We'll be a good 81-81 team. There's no doubt about it. We're talking a little football here. We're going to talk high school football because it's football season. It's I got the Pac Meters come out with the top 30 rankings already, but a lot of my phone's blown up right now with Fresno High, and I just go back and just. Be quiet for a minute.
I will.
Matt Johnson was at Edison, and they took him for granted. He did a great job. You were a coach. You were a counselor, a father, an uncle for all these kids. And they didn't take care of Edison, and I don't think football was a priority at Edison. And they found out, wow, look what happens when you don't take care of football. 15 kids transferred to Central, couple to Bullard. They're all over the place.
And Memorial.
And, of course, Memorial. And all of a sudden they go, well, maybe this football thing is big. We better get early morning PE, keep kids on campus from not transferring. And Fresno High is going to be doing the same thing now. They left their head coach, Joe Marquez, not go, but they didn't take care of him on campus. I don't blame Joe for leaving. And now Fresno High is going to be in the dumpster pretty quick. Watch
it
down.
You're a young coach like Joe, and – the what you would think you'd consider one of the simplest forms of commitment to you would be rather than having the teacher's job. You know, we're talking about a guy who's a credentialed teacher. We're not talking about, you know, my situation. We're talking about a credentialed teacher who's going into his fifth year or has 5 years under his belt, and he has a job in the district at the junior high that feeds to the high school. And if a job is open on the high school campus,
slam dunk.
Slam dunk. You're going to want your coach on campus. So we don't know all the details of it, but Joe Marquez is now joining others off of his staff that went off to Memorial. A few went off to Edison. One retired is going to take a year off from football. Their D-line coach. So
they're a mess. They are. So if you're the principal, if you're the administration of Fresno High, I'm looking at you. Shame on you for letting this happen at Fresno High.
We got a long way to go.
Because kids are leaving. What a time! Because we're finding out kids are going everywhere right now. Transfers.
Aren't they? I'm getting more innuendo. Nothing I can factually really stand up to. But there is a lot of movement. Kids coming from Southern California, northern parts of California, of course, in our own backyard, are moving. And isn't that perfect compared to what's happening right now? Because in the world of college football and basketball, this transfer portal deal, guy signs his letter to go to certain school A, decides he doesn't like that school, decides to enter the transfer portal, jumps to another school, decides after a spring football session, all the way through spring, the spring is over, realizes, as they all do, I'm kind of homesick, I don't like this place as much, re-enters the transfer portal, and now is trying to get back into another school. If that's going on in college, no wonder high school has movement everywhere. The kids will follow their friends. If, by the way, everyone talks about the recruiting, and everyone goes crazy with this school, got what they've got, oh my gosh, they got this new guy. You can't stop it. Because it's not parents, and it's not coaches. It's your peers. It's 7-on-7. It's football in the spring, in the summer, and you're at a deal, and you realize, I love the way this quarterback throws the ball, and I'm a particularly good receiver, or I'm trying to join the best defense, and the defensive backs that I'm running with here in my all-star pro way or whatever 7-on-7 group you're with, they're all pretty good. I want to play with them. And they, what do? They sit around and they say, well, would you consider coming to my school? If not, maybe I'll talk to my parents about coming to your school. And would you bring him and him with you, too? Because we could form a super team. When LeBron James announced he'd be a Miami Heat, take his talents to South Beach, Everything has been going downhill from that point. Everyone wants to leave.
Everyone wants to join.
Yeah. Forget the coaches. Forget the school. Forget my neighborhood. I want to join forces with an all-star team and go put rings on my finger. That's where we're at.
So true. You're spot on. That's when it all started. And it trickled all the way down the high school.
Absolutely it did.
In fact, I can't wait to ask Nick today because, you know, we're always saying Memorial, all these kids are coming in. Well, they're losing two kids to Clovis West now. So Memorial is going to be losing four players because we know Jalen Green is gone.
Anytime you sit around and spend too much energy, which Lord knows we have, about our favorite private professional, Memorial, we talk about them with all this movement. Hey, newsflash. Everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
Everyone is doing it. Unfortunately, certain schools don't have enough appeal to others to get all that. But the open door policy is everywhere now. I guarantee you in Bakersfield, you just heard a story already of two guys going to Santa Margarita or whatever, Bakersfield.
Yeah.
You heard a story of what's happening probably at Garces all over Foothill, all the way down into Ridgeview. Everyone's got movement on their mind. That's just the world we live in.
And it's only going to get worse throughout the summer until football starts, until school starts. You'll watch a lot of movement.
But I still, as I really reflect now, I've been around a little bit. I don't mind it. I don't mind it because the CIF, especially our section, does such a fine job of competitive equity. I don't care if you've got three future NFL Hall of Famers on your team. I don't necessarily want to play you, but I'm not really shouldn't be playing them, but I am. But most schools don't play those teams. The teams that sit around and complain about Memorial, whatever, most of those schools are in the same boat and they play each other. It's the schools that don't get all those transfers. Well, the way the CIF has it set up, we're playing those kinds of schools. So it's all basically comes out in the end that the superpowers are playing superpowers. The medium run superpower is playing each other, and it trickles all the way down to Division VI, and it all equals out in the end.
The other question right now, Clovis North football and Clovis East football, are the CIF put them in Division II, but they can still go back to Division I, and the CIF has given them until the first day of football officially starts on July 22nd. To say, do you want to play Division I or Division II? And a lot of people are saying, hey, that's not right. You should have until May 3rd, like everyone else, to say yes or no and then appeal. What's your theory in that? Because Cody brings up, and he's spot on, so wait a minute. Maybe they lose some transfers between now and July 22nd, and they go, let's go to Division II, or, you know, we're pretty good or not. How come they get to decide if they go to Division I, Division II? Clovis North and Clovis East.
I don't have any idea, and I really don't care because we can't have it both ways. We've sat around for 10 years, you and I already now, and have looked at it simple. Each school has to get their proper evaluation done, and then let's place ourselves according to what we think we have as a football, basketball, whatever your team looks like. And if by July 22nd you say they figured out what they have and don't have, which is to me is ridiculous. You probably already know what you have or don't have, but if that's the date, fine. If they want to, because you and I think about it, we've been talking about at the end of each regular season, everyone gets reclassified. That's the only time you really know what kind of ball club do we really have. Well, after you go through the kind of year I went through last year, I knew what kind of ball club I had, and what's wrong with me bouncing down to Division V or whatever the personal thing might be for each team. So I don't have a take either way on that. I've always believed that Clovis East, in their road back to recovery, if you will, from their heyday, play Division II. All right? Get the mojo going. Win some games. If Memorial played Division III, absolutely Clovis East should go to Division II.
Well, let me look at the top three.
I don't know if it's a district, Paul. We've always wrestled with that. Is that the district saying we don't play Division II? We're all Division I.
That's the district.
Is that what if that's what's going on, then, you know, all right, do what you got to do. You follow the rules of what your district feels you need to do.
But right now, I got Clovis East at 6th to start the year, number 6 team in the Valley. There's no way they should be playing Division II. So whoever's making this call, call Jim Critchlow in the morning and say we're Division I because that's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you now. Let's start it. The number one team in the Central section,
yes.
Back-to-back champs, the Central Grizzlies. They're getting tons of people coming in. They're loaded on both sides of the ball, but they don't have one little guy. They don't have Trent Tompkins anymore. They got two quarterbacks who transferred in, a very well-traveled quarterback who was at Edison last year, and a new quarterback who transferred in from Clovis North are trying to beat. It's a quarterback controversy. Yeah. There'll be a battle.
Well,
but it's not. I think they're going to be more of a downhill running offense this year.
Well, you do. I'd load up and get a bunch of carries for Conley in the backfield. They're loaded with size up front. Obviously, you're always going to have the skill guys. I don't even like to say skill anymore because that kills me, by the way. You old lineman, D-lineman, go over there. Now, you skill guys because they have no skill. The littler guys, they're pretty good there in that department. They're really good on the defensive front with Ricky Correa getting ready to really get his career back in line, which seems like it's going along very nicely. They're going to be loaded, and they are the defending champs. But losing Trent Tompkins, everyone's going to have a puncher's chance now, because if you got to realize the effect that Trent Tompkins had on the magical run that Central's been on, it was all, I don't want to say it's all him, but it is him. Because we did a couple games where we thought, they're done. They're cooked. It's over. Buchanan's going on to the championship. Wait, Tompkins isn't done yet.
And he made a play.
The Trent Tompkins effect, or factor, if you will, was in my lifetime of being involved in athletics, he was the greatest single factor of changing an outcome of any athlete I've been around.
And whoever takes over for him, God bless you, because the pressure is going to be on that little guy. Because they're going to look and go, God, that's not Trent anymore. Trent would have made that play. These guys have no chance to be in Trent Tompkins. So,
well, with both the quarterbacks I know they have on the roster, newsflash, which every school that's going to try to knock them off the pedestal knows, you might want to get after the quarterback. Trent, you can get after Trent, but Trent like slips out of there and it's like, holy cow, he's better than the running back.
How did he do it?
Those two guys that I know that play quarterback, yeah, for them, they're not that kind of caliber.
No. They got great receivers.
They'll
got great
feet, throw a ball, but if there's any kind of pressure, game over.
Number two team, Buchanan Bears come in, Kendall Milton and company. And I think the key, DJ Stevenson, who didn't play basketball this year, has been focusing on football. He could be the most improved quarterback in the Valley. Last year, he was a little sophomore, learning the tricks. This year, he's going to be really, really good.
I would give Buchanan my number one spot nod if it wasn't for the fact that I kept scratching my head every time that we would call a game on air, that how in the world could Jalen Cropper be the most silent senior year in the history of high school football? That tells me that someone didn't quite have a plan how to use Jalen Cropper possibly. That could be their downfall. But with Stevenson coming back as a returning starting quarterback, with the weapons that he has around him, the coaching, the guys up front, because as coaches go, that's about as polished a group of men I've seen run a program. I think you've got them right at number two, but like I said, if it wasn't for that questionable thing I witnessed with Jalen Cropper, I'd give Buchanan the nod as the number one team.
So true, so true. Number three team, and they could be even better this year, San Joaquin Memorial. They are going to be absolutely loaded. They're coming in all over the state. They're coming in at Memorial.
Depending on who, which, you know, pomp and circumstance person you want to talk to, they're either going to be real good state champions, or they're going to be real good runner-up in the state, because everyone I've talked to has told me about this bevy of new, fresh talent that's hitting that campus. So you having them number three, it pretty much tells the whole story, because you would never give someone in a lesser division the number one nod. If they want the number one nod, they have to go toe-to-toe against one of the bigger schools, but they're clearly locked and reloaded and ready to go to battle.
And they're in Division II this
year. That's what I'm saying.
And I got them number one in Division II.
No way. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. They're you very rarely ever see a lesser division so highly ranked. But for the last two or three years, San Joaquin Memorial's been that program.
The number four team, the Liberty Patriots, they're going to come in big, physical, another Brian Nixon team, and they're going to be very good. One of the best teams in the South Valley.
And it seems that way, that the underbelly of the South Valley has kind of been running through Liberty, you know, when the quarterback Love was there and what they did, winning that title, runner-up the year before, where they've kind of built their program. Coach Nixon is unquestionably one of the top, you know, he's on the Mount Rushmore of Central Valley football coaches. Liberty's going to be heck to deal with.
They got a quarterback, junior quarterback, Hayden Mann. He's 6'3", physical. He's a guy, he can run you over, and he can also throw. So they're going to be a very physical team. Number five, the Bullard Knights. They come in, and they're feeling pretty good on this team.
Yeah, if there was one team out there that has, in my opinion, the youth movement under real good good, good polish to him. It was the freshman-sophomore group because Coach Arex got rid of freshman football and joined forces with JV and freshmen.
You like that?
Well, yeah, and the army that I saw that he had, wow, were they talented. So he has a lot of great returners, and he's got a youth group. So I consider the run that Coach Arex, Coach Ferris are getting ready to go under is going to be one of those 2 or 3 year great runs.
Number 6, the Clovis East T-Wolves, Ryan Reynolds, and this is they're starting to feel it now. They're physical in the weight room. They're going to play hard-nosed football. We've seen it. I don't know how they could play Division II. I think they stay in Division I. That's my gut feeling.
Well, he's assembled a great coaching staff, bringing a lot of the old alumni from the heyday with Coach Tim Murphy are back working around that campus. They have a culture that they're rebuilding and bringing it back to those days. So they have a lot to play for. It's kind of like when Alabama was failing all those years. Heck, we played them in college in a bowl game that was in Hawaii, and this is Alabama playing USC in a 6-win type season of a bowl game. Well, Alabama's all the way back. Clovis East is going to recapture that glory. The thing about Clovis East that I'm still thinking they might be ranked a little too high in your book is that you've got to give a little bit more sustained year after year greatness to be ranked that high on the PAG meter poll. And right now, they haven't proven anything to a lot of us yet.
So true, but there's a lot of teams that we're going to talk about are in the same boat. It's like the top four, and then it's everyone else.
Yeah.
The next team is a team that we'll find out, Rich Hammond, Clovis Cougars. Every year it's the X factor as the quarterback. And I think Clovis missed their mark when they didn't want to run downhill when they had those Dakota Gordons and those Palomino kids. They still want to run that goofy spread attack, but they just something missing. But Clovis could be. They're going to be big and physical now. Will they run downhill or will they spread it out? Stay tuned, I guess. What do you think of Clovis?
Yeah, well, when I used to compete against Clovis on a year-in, year-out basis, I used to tell you to shut your mouth and don't ever let them know what they truly have because apparently they haven't found it yet. When you're lining up with guys who are going in the Mountain West Conference and are all Mountain West-type performers, carrying the ball, tackling people, you talked about Dakota Gordon, but what was the other guy that they had that played defense, offense? Great wrestler, too, every year. And they would sit back and they would go into they'd go into their wildcat or their downhill attack mode with power football, and they'd go out and start smashing people, and they'd go back to the spread game and nickel and dime a little bit, but never the results that I thought they can achieve using more power football tactics as opposed to spread it out finesse tactics. And I think you're right. I think there was a window there where every school in our section has that window of opportunity. It's usually about a 2 or 3 window. You got to win some banners. You got to get some championship rings on their fingers, and then you move on and get ready for the next class. They didn't get that done, so that's why they're ranked number 7 or 8 in your poll.
Let's come back and talk about Edison, Bakersfield, Tulare Union, Tulare Western, and all the rest. Don't go anywhere. 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of The Rise Show here on a Friday. Tony D coming up next, followed by The Zone from the 10 Tavern. And Matt Johnson's going to be there today with Nick Anderson. Got a lot. We're going to talk baseball, all the draft choices, maybe swimming, but a little more football. But
yep.
Let's keep football going here at Fashion Furniture. Because it's Father's Day. We're at Edison Tigers.
Yep.
I got them the number 8 team in the Valley. Atnoff Harris got a new offensive coordinator, Joe Marquez. We know he left. But he's lost some players. He lost his quarterback. He lost his receiver. You know, Tyler Horton's brothers now is the Washington Union. But he's getting a few new ones coming in. He's getting the young quarterback from Memorial. He'll probably be his quarterback this year. People moving all over the place.
Yeah. If you remember, now, Trent Tompkins last year from Central was coming off his injury, just getting his hand back to work in order on the left side of his wrist.
He got hit with
The ball hit him on his wrist. He was coming back. There was a moment, you and I called that Edison opening game. And by the way, hats off to Edison, hats off to Bullard, hats off to the schools out there. They play a schedule now. I ranted on your show, I don't know, a week ago. But the schools that talk a lot of smack about where they are, that's not right, your rankings, you got to understand, The Edison Tigers and the Bullard Knights, and there's a few, do they play a championship schedule right out the gate? There's no gimmies on their schedule until they play a few of the teams in league. But the bottom line is, this is a big year for Coach Harris. It's a big year for the Tigers. I love the team development that they're going through at Edison right now. And who knows? Right now, I just think they're a little undermanned. You can't replace some of the names that left that school, but I'm quite certain that Coach Atanoff-Harris and his staff will solidify things now and start to get Edison to a level, at least you know that the kids you can count on. And I think that's what he's building. He's building accountability with his team. They might not win as many games as people would like to see them win, but first and foremost is you need to restabilize, stop all the transfers, kids leaving, and build a program around the kids who want to play for you.
Can you imagine, though, if Matt John, just throwing it out there,
oh dear God,
with the knucklehead principal you used to have, all the players that would have stayed instead of going to Central, Edison would be Long Beach Poly right now. And you were looking at that in the future.
Well,
but when kids leave, you can't be a Long Beach Poly.
Let's not forget that the ringleader of getting true West Side kids, Edison, going was Tony Perry. And I never want to lose sight of what Tony Perry meant. I'm not that good of a coach, but I'm smart in people. And the first person I reached out to was the late, great Tony Perry. Tony, you need to come back to your alma mater. Why are you bouncing around all these different schools? You need to come back home and keep building the relationships and helping youngsters like you have. So that's really a Tony Perry thing. My deal has always been at Edison High School, you have to take care of the base. The base of legacy players that parents played, went to school there, were involved in the school, athletics. That's the thing. That's the pride of Tigerland. That's the black and gold they talk about. And if that starts to slip, you've got problems. Having Atanoff-Harris back, let's hope that he can recapture that black and gold spirit.
Well, you do know Central was loving Oh. leaving.
Oh, yeah.
That was huge for them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When half your team is starting from Edison and you win it, well, that's big. Number nine, the Bakersfield Drillers. And Michael Stewart, the new head coach, former NFL, Fresno State great. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of offense. It's, you know, you just like to watch Bakersfield and Paul Gola and that the defense are all jumping up and down. It's just a, what's going to happen with Bakersfield? Are they going to be just as good, you think?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that I would
it's
say off
one,
the top of my head, I'd say no. I would say they have a new stadium, new facilities. Kids are still going to want to be drillers. They are the legacy. They're a program that has a great tradition. Of course, they are the number one program in football in our valley as far as longevity and how many wins they've amassed. But I don't know. When you brought up Coach Nixon over at Liberty, I know he's got a big thing to say, and I've got my eye out for Garces football and what's Garces going to do. Once they've seen the arms race that San Joaquin Memorial has been amassing, Garces, I got to believe, can't sit by. So I'm thinking the trend of power is in Liberty's hands in Bakersfield. Bakersfield will still be relevant, but I see the trend coming from a Garces, or maybe Ridgeview has a renaissance of sorts.
But I think the great move was hiring Michael Stewart, a former Bakersfield driller.
Yeah.
So that's going to help. Hey, I don't know about you guys, but I played in the NFL. So that's going to help. If they would have hired anybody else, they might be transferring even more.
They're always going to be competitive. They're always going to be good. There's no question that, like I said, they are the program amongst all programs in our valley. But Garces has an advantage. We haven't talked Garces yet. Continue with your list. But Garces, to me, is one school. They can't be sitting around getting the sand kicked in their face too long before they figure it out and say, we need to be a private professional and get it going.
Now, let's just run through these because we don't have a lot of time. Number 10, they lock and load every year, Tulare Union.
Yep.
Number
Tulare Western, please tell me they're next because I'm seeing a trend develop in there, too, where as long as Darren Bennett's coaching Tulare Union, they're always going to have that shot at being the top team in that area. But Tulare Western's doing great things.
Number 11, the Diduma Emperors, coach quarterback Josh Magana is back. That's why he's a senior. That's why I have him at number 11. Number 12, Tulare Western Mustangs, 17 return.
There you go.
They're going to get rid of that silly wing tee they had. It was the dumbest offense with so many talented athletes, and they're going to be keep an eye on Tulare Western. In fact, they'll be at Clovis East tomorrow. Big 7-on-7 tournament tomorrow at Clovis East. Number 13, the Garces Rams. Paul Gola, the new head coach, and you're right, they're working hard. Number 14, Hanford Bullpups. Juwan Watts Brown is the senior quarterback. They're going to have a lot of speed. 15, Ridgeview, your Ridgeview Wolfpack. Number 16, the Clovis North Broncos. Mike Jacot takes over. George Petrasson's the new athletic coordinator at Clovis North.
New offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
George of the Jungle, Big Bear.
You got two great head coaches right there. That speaks volumes.
Number 17, Rigetti, the Warriors. They had a great year last year. They got to the championship game in Division II, but lost to Tulare Union. St. Joseph Knights are now in Division II.
Yep.
Arroyo Grande Eagles, very physical team. Watched them last year. We got number 20, the Bakersfield Christian Eagles. Darren Carr's got it going on. Redwood. Kevin Sharton now is the head coach of Redwood. Number 22, the Sanger Apaches. Now they're back at Division II. You like that?
Yes, I do. Yep.
Okay. Number 23, the Clovis West Golden Eagles. Got to put them in there. They're the kind of the sleeper team. We'll keep an eye on them. 24, CVC Cavaliers. 25, the Porterville Panthers. I got them number one in Division IV. 26, Golden West. They're always good. You got to play them this year?
Yeah, of course I do.
They're very, very good. Keep an eye on them.
Because we play a real schedule, just FYI.
Yeah, you do. Number 27, Centennial. 28, Stockdale. Now, Stockdale, Evan Burkhart out with an ACL. I had them in the top 15. But without him, he was really good. And I heal fast. What a great guy this guy is.
Yes.
Outstanding athlete. 29, Kingsburg. You're not playing them, are you?
I was, but they pulled out.
Thank 30, you. Frontier Titans. That's my top 30. Yeah. A lot of coaching changes going on, Matt.
Well, just to say, before we get off air, I'll put this out there. Of all the people that know, that at least familiar with the Twitter account, somehow reach out to the PAG meter. You could reach myself also at my website at the school. But any of you credentialed teachers out there that would be interested in coaching football with me, the door is wide open for you. Any credentialed teacher that would be interested in coaching football, I've got something very special to talk about.
So you're
special.
Saying you got a job for him on campus?
I don't want to go too far. That's not a guarantee.
Well, what do you need a credential teacher for?
But I've got something very special.
Oh.
An opportunity that needs to be explored.
Message the PAG meter if you can't get a hold of Matt on Twitter, and I will get you hooked up to my partner, Matty J.
You will have a great time. I can assure you of that.
Wow.
Yes.
Give me a hint, because people are like, come on, you can't tease us like
well,
that.
You like shaved ice?
Yeah.
Good. Lots of that going on.
Who's going to win game four? Warriors? Toronto?
Well, the Warriors are going to have to, in my opinion, and I just don't think they will. I'm taking Toronto. And then there'll be that Willis Reed moment. KD will be back for game five. They'll be on the road, and we'll see what happens. But it just doesn't look good. I can't see it. I really can't. I cannot see health changing that much in time for the Warriors to go ahead and get another championship.
Yeah. Coming up, it's Tony D, and at 4 o'clock, we're going to get the ESPN 940 limo, and we're heading to 10 Tavern at 4 o'clock. If you haven't been there yet, how good's that food, Matt?
Spectacular, my friend.
Rigatoni, one word, rigatoni.
Yeah. Two words, but we'll call it one. Could be one word, I'm not sure. I'll ask Paul Leffler, he'll tell you.
Yeah, we'll see you in a couple hours. We're going to 10 Tavern, Tony D coming up next, because it is about a two-hour drive over there. Thank you to Russ. Fashion Furniture, it's Father's Day. Get it going, and we'll be back next week. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you at 4 o'clock. You've been listening to The Rise Show, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. As Matt says,
get in the game.